In Africa, 1 in 37 women die in childbirth. It's a truly shocking statistic when you compare it with Australia, where that number is 1 in 16,000. And in Africa, many other women after childbirth face a fate almost worse than death. Difficult labours, often in young girls, can leave them with a condition that means a lifetime shunned by society and even family. The late Dr. Catherine Hamlin first brought the issue of fistulas to public attention through her work operating on such women. Australian Dr. Andrew Browning worked with Dr. Hamlin in Ethiopia, and he's now taking her work to the rest of Africa and Southeast Asia. Dr. Browning has been back in Australia recently to promote his book, A Doctor in Africa. All his patients have tragic backstories. He told me about 15-year-old Ngolo, stuck in obstructed labour in her village, far from medical help.
She stayed in labour for a full 2 days in her little hut with her mother-in-law. Her husband was with her, and he was illiterate, as was Ngolo. He had no scientific understanding, but he was desperate to help his wife, and they had the idea that if he boiled a basin of water and put her feet, Ngolo's feet, into the boiling water, it would stimulate her uterus to contract, and she might be able to deliver more swiftly. He did this to Ngolo for 2 more days, and so now after 4 days of labour, Ngolo still hadn't delivered, and she was now unconscious. Unconscious, on the 5th day of the labour, Ngolo delivered a stillborn child. This baby simply can't survive such a long labour. Ngolo herself was close to death, and it took her 2 days to regain consciousness. And when she did regain consciousness, she found that she was leaking uncontrollably from her bowel and also her bladder. Because of the long labour, the baby's head had been pressed against the bones of her pelvis, and all the tissues between, which means the tissues of the bladder and birth canal, rectum birth canal, all had its blood supply cut off, and all those tissues died. And she was left with a big fistula, or a hole, between bladder, outside world, rectum, outside world. So fistula just means a hole. She leaked urine and feces every minute of every day. She stank. She was ashamed. Husband divorced her. She went to live with her mother. The mother couldn't have her in the house, so she put her in a little mud hut at the end of the family compound. And unable to walk because her feet were all burnt by that boiling water, she stayed in that hut for 18 months. She was found by omission and brought to a hospital, 120 kilometres away. They tried to operate on her, but the doctors there hadn't been trained in fistula surgery and it didn't work. So they operated 3 times. She wasn't cured. She was found by our outreach workers and brought to me, and I operated on her. But poor Ngolo had so given up hope that she could ever be cured that she just sobbed every day in the hospital until we got her into the hospital to the operating theatre to treat her. And Ngolo, I mean, I've met over 12,000 women just with same stories as Ngolo, operated on about 7,000 of them. But there's about 2 million fistula patients all around Africa and Southeast Asia still awaiting treatment.
How did her story end?
We operated on her. We removed her catheter 2 weeks later, so a tube in the bladder. We had it in the bladder as she healed. And we removed it and she was dry. She was completely continent and cured. She was absolutely overjoyed. She had a smile from ear to ear. She was completely transformed from someone who was sobbing every day to someone who was just full of the joy of life. And she was rushing home and she said, "Look, when I get home, I'm never going to meet another man. I never want to be married again. And I'm going to go to school and start a new life." I caught up with her about a year ago. And she is going to school back in her village and starting a new life, so which we're very, very grateful for.
It's an amazing story, and 7,000 times you've done that. What are the statistics for women like that to ever have children after that experience?
Only about 20% will have a successful pregnancy after fistula. The damage to the lining of the uterus and the cervix is such that they may be able to get pregnant, but if they do, they're more likely to lose it early, miscarriages and premature deliveries. So only 20% go to term, and we always bring them back to our hospitals and across Africa and have a cesarean with us. And we've got many, many stories of, you know, live children after fistula injury, but there's many ladies who simply can't have a baby.
How does your system work? You said you had outreach workers that will go out to villages and find these people. How do you get the word around?
We're doing different things in different places. So in South Sudan, for example, where I just returned a couple of weeks ago, heavily reliant on radio there. And then because of areas of conflict, we have to fly patients over difficult roads and difficult areas to the hospital. And so we've got networks of health workers who find patients for us and communicate to us, and then we organise the transport. It's difficult because they are hidden away and they don't have money for transport. We have to provide that. And they're often very fearful for travelling away from their village to a big city or where our hospital might be. And it's a big undertaking for them. So we look after them the whole journey from their village to the hospital and then also back again.
Mm. And I believe you have what you call fistula pilgrims coming to you. You don't have to go and look for them. They know that you're there and they're looking for the help.
Yeah, so there are other ladies that just come as well. So they've heard through word of mouth. I've had ladies that have walked for 3 days sometimes to the hospital. Or I've had another lady walk 2 days to a road and beg for the money for the bus fare, and eventually, you know, another 2 days to come on the bus to reach us. Yeah, they make all sorts of difficult journeys to get to us. I mean, such as their desire to be cured, of course. They simply can't live or associate. I've had many other blind women with cataracts and say, look, we can cure you cataracts. And they say, oh, no, don't worry about that. Just operate on my fistula. Mm. I mean, if I'm blind, people at least sit with me and talk with me. But when I've got a fistula, no one will even sit with me. Mm. So, yeah, such is the misery of this condition.
Dr. Andrew Browning. His book is called A Doctor in Africa. And we'll put a link on our website to the Barbara May Foundation, which he has set up in Africa to fund the operations that he's been talking about.